lifestyle investments. The history of South Africa is complicated, structural issues that affected family life, particularly black families, because of forced removals and migrant labor. In most instances, black mothers had to play the role of both mother and father because of the nature of the disruption of the family structure. So Puleng Sekgalo, Prof. Puleng Sekgalo, is from the Chief Albert Luthuli Research, and she chairs that research at UNISA. Prof, good afternoon. Thank you so much for making the time. You say the fatherhood crisis that we see, particularly in black South African families, is in part caused by apartheid and colonialism. Afternoon, can you elaborate?
Good afternoon, KG, and thank you very much for having me.
Join me, Fifi Peters, on SAFM Market Update tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. as we unpack the day's business and investment news. You can also live stream and download the latest podcasts on moneyweb.co.za or via the app.
Hashtag stop the violence. What has violence ever accomplished? What has it ever created? No wrongs have ever been righted by violence. Stop the violence. SAFM, leading the conversation. Life happens. Weekdays, 1 to 3 p.m. You are listening to KG Mwekezi on SAFM.
Welcome back. It's 8 minutes past two on SAFM. We shift gear. It's Men's Forum time and Men Talk. We were inspired by an article we saw on IOL to have this discussion, and I want to part read this article to you. And I'm going to read it, obviously, as written by a journalist who interviewed the research chair that we're about to talk to. And the article partially reads: the South African Black community is suffering from a fatherhood crisis caused by the apartheid regime and colonialism. University of South Africa Chief Albert Luthuli Research Chair at UNISA, Puleng Sekgalo, says the brutality of apartheid on the African family structure was so toxic that it affected the roles of males in their family and perpetuated the culture of absent fatherhood as a norm. The history
that we have as a country, and the brutality of apartheid, the oppression of apartheid, the racism, the patriarchal system that was entrenched also, played a very critical role in the functioning of the African family. The forced removal of people and the dispossession of people, and many fathers in the families having to leave their families and going very far to go and work in the mines, migrant labor, which was forced also by the tax systems that were imposed, forced many of the men to leave their homes in seeking for job opportunities, but also so that they can be able to pay the taxes that were imposed. And oftentimes they traveled very long distances, making it very difficult for them to come back home as often as they could, which then led to this extended absence of these fathers in the family life and in the upbringing of their children as well.
So, not only did it, from what you're saying, did it also, the process emasculate them, it also, broke the ties of family that should exist.
That is it. That is correct. So it happened at multiple levels, mm-hmm. In the ways in which the men were treated in these workplaces where they were treated like children, you know, references to things such as boy, you know, they were called boys, you know, a 50-year-old, a 38-year-old man would be called a boy, and how that then functioned in the violation of their human rights, but also the emasculation of the men as well. But in addition, it also disintegrated the family system at the same time.
So, and somebody can easily say that was then. What is making it so difficult for us to rebuild and have, because when you look at stats that, you know, are released by Statistics South Africa, even today, as you and I are having this conversation, there's many children who grow up in South Africa without their fathers. The apartheid system fell 27 years ago. How is it that we're not able to find ways to rebuild and re-entrench the family unit in Black South Africa?
That is a very good question. That is a very good question, because I guess one could say, why dwell in the past? It's important for us to always connect the present with the past. It's important for us to always understand where we are today by looking at how we got to be where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as we look at the challenges that are confronting us today, we should not only look at the symptoms and say, why are we having these challenges in our families, in our communities? And therefore, it's important to also look at the roots as well.
Mm.
And in this case, the roots is colonialism. The roots is apartheid. But it's important to, again, look beyond that. It's important for us to start it there because we need to make those connections. It's important for us to do so.
Yeah.
So that when we look at how do we move forward, we do so with that broader understanding and not decontextualize the challenges that we have as a society.
Yeah.
And so when we move forward and come to today, KZ, it's important to also think about what we call intergenerational trauma,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Intergenerational woundedness. That these are our grandfathers that we're talking about. These are our fathers that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those legacies continue to linger on. When we're thinking about, if I wasn't able to raise my children, if I was not able to be able to do the nurturing, the loving, the support that I would have liked to offer my boy child, my girl child. When they grow up as well,
they perpetuate the same cycle.
Exactly, right? So that also gets passed on. But at the same, it gets passed on. But when we're looking, and that's why for me it's important that when we're looking at the statistics, we do not only look at the numbers and say, this is what's happening, this is what's going on in communities.
Mm.
It's also important to look beyond the numbers to contextualize the statistics and understand that the statistics do not tell the full story.
Yeah.
And here we come to the idea of how do
see children learn? How do we explain how women manage to sort of hold families together, or at least raise children, let me say, even within the same realm of the same system?
Yes. Many women manage to do that. And many women were able to still be with their children. So they managed to be able to nurture them, to care for them, and to create those bonds with their children. Some women lived in, you know, in the domestic quarters, but some women also traveled and were able to go home and stay with their children.
Mm.
I think, you know, at the risk of comparing, because I do not want to compare, because the experiences and how everything manifested and manifests in our community also differs as well. We need to also look at the role of socialization and what it plays in how we raise the boy child and the girl child and the expectations around that. So I think, again, that the pressure within our communities that are put on men also play a critical role in how we define the idea and the notion of fatherhood. That often, when we're talking about being able to provide.
Mm.
There's always this expectation that when we're talking about provision or providing, men are expected to provide financially.
Mm.
And being able to provide has to move and be understood beyond that. That being able to provide is also being able to provide love, you know, to nurture, to actually spend time with your children.
Of course.
Which, you know, for some of the men, we define family.
Yeah.
And within an African context, the idea of a nuclear family needs to be problematized as well.
How then, in the same space, because you talk about how, you know, the system emasculated and to a large extent belittled men and broke the nucleus of the family. And as a result, what happened as entrenched by the system continues today because of the system. But I ask myself, as you're talking, how do we explain how, in the same vein, because apartheid was brutal to all, right? It wasn't only brutal to men. It was brutal to women, too. Women raised children on domestic worker salaries, and they themselves were called girl when they went to work in the same sort of system to make sure that children grow, children eat, children go to university. Albert Luthuli research. And this is part of the research that she's done. And in essence, she's saying that the black South African community is suffering from a fatherhood crisis that's caused by the apartheid regime and colonialism. Please join, because I want to find out whether does this mean, because we face this system, it's impossible for fathers to be good fathers, for fathers to find a way to be present, notwithstanding all of the other challenges that we face. If you want to join the conversation, do so on 011-714-2006. We are also on WhatsApp on the number 41391 at around 50. That's an SMS line, okay? 41391. You can WhatsApp on 061-410-4107. And I go back to that question, right? Because does that mean it's impossible? Because we're saying 27 years later.
Not something not possible for them because of the circumstances that they find themselves in, or even though they do that, that is not counted as being, a role model father in a sense that you're spending time with children, you're doing 1, 2, and 3, but you're not giving us money, or you're not giving money to your children. Without also understanding some of the challenges that we're having of unemployment and income inequalities that we have in our society.
Yeah.
So all these multiple dimensions have to be taken into consideration when we're thinking about this idea of fatherhood and
creating nuclear families for our country.
Okay, exactly.
It's a complex discussion we are having with Professor Puleng Sekgalo, who is a research chair at Chief Albert Luthuli, at UNISA.
As African families have always had, you know, the roles of Bomalume, Rangwane, and other, you know, role models that are there in the communities, other father figures that are there in the family, what other, you know, researchers have called social fathers, people who mentor and assist, and those that had always been there also, even in the past when fathers were not around and they were working in the mines, Borangwane would be there to assist. But I think because we're looking at the idea of fatherhood as the biological father who raised the child, which is important. Don't get me wrong.
Because it is important to the child. For me, I'm looking at it from the perspective of the child. And I don't care whether you're rich or you're poor. Every child wants to have a relationship with their mommy. Every child wants to have a relationship with their daddy because they're their mommy and their daddy.
No, that's true. I think children want to have a relationship with their parents. That is correct. And that is very important in terms of their emotional well-being, you know, psychologically speaking, in terms of the development and how they relate to the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. And so for me, I don't think it's impossible. I think as a society, as a collective, we need to work together in rethinking how we engage the idea idea of fatherhood and their and the roles of the fathers within the families.
Okay.
But
I also want to ask you before I go to a short break, what role and what responsibility do we place then, even in the midst of, you know, the extended type of family that you describe that has been there since time immemorial for African families? What responsibility do we place on the biological father, notwithstanding all these dynamics, the dynamic was and the foundation was laid by systems, and it continues today. Does that mean that we're going to live in a society where it's almost close to impossible to create nuclear families because inequality remains, unemployment remains a challenge, and you talked about men's ability